Hey, come on in. I really feel like we've reached a place in our culture where religious conversations can seem tense or even taboo. So every week, I invite a different guest to sit down with me to talk about what they believe, what shaped that belief, and why it matters. My name's Tony Vicenda, and this is The Threshold. Welcome back, everybody, for session three of our Odd Noggins, which are our in-between the seasons podcast here at The Threshold. We are just a couple weeks away from launching season two. I'm so excited about the different interviews that I've been doing that I'm going to get to share with you. One of the most impressive things that I was thinking about just this week is the number of strong female voices that I've been able to talk to in preparation for season two. I have done a couple of interviews with men. I've got more of those coming up. I'm really excited about. But the number one group of people I've been talking to have just been different women who are sharing their faith journey, what they believe, why they believe it, and what shaped that belief with me. And I am really excited during this episode to get you to introduce you to another, what I think, strong female voice. And that's one of our new co-hosts who's stepping in to replace Father Colin Parrish. He'll still be with us from time to time, but he's sliding into more of a chaplain role here on the Threshold. And that's Mati V. Mati V, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing, Tony?
I am doing good. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about who you are?
Okay. So my name is actually Maria Virginia DeLees, but I've got like three cousins named Maria. So my name is, everybody calls me Mati V. And I'm from Miami, Florida, originally from Puerto Rico. So unfortunately, everybody knows where Puerto Rico is now before I used to have to explain. But I've been living here for most of my life. And I come from a very Catholic, very musical family. And I'm very blessed to have been involved with music ministry pretty much all of my life and probably shortly before it also. And I'm just really excited to be here today.
So, Mati V, if you had to tell people maybe two interesting facts about yourself, what would those interesting facts be? Just things people looking at you or having met you wouldn't necessarily expect to be the case. What would those be?
Okay. Apparently I'm taller than people expect. I'm about 5'10", which isn't really that tall when you like take in like all of America, but in South Florida, apparently I'm a giant. So I'm tall and people tell me I'm funny. I don't think I'm funny, but apparently that's what I've been told. So you guys get to judge that today and be sure to send me angry letters if you disagree.
That's awesome. So we have a friend who people will hear later on this season, Sarah Kazmarek. She works for Alpha International. It's a group that helps introduce people to faith, what the church believes, wrestle with big life questions, things like that. But one of my coworkers, Michael, when we first met her, she's not that tall either. She's 5'10" as well, which is tall for like the average female height in the US, but not like crazy tall. And like we spent the entire like 2 days with her at this event. We were together, and then Michael, when we were done, just goes, "All right, I gotta be honest with you, Sarah's just way taller than I thought she was." And I'm like, "Okay." And he's like, "But like really, she's really tall." And I'm like, "I mean, she's not, but like ever since then, now I told her," and so she'll just go like lean, like stand next to him, like on her tiptoes, or she'll wear like lifts or like platform shoes anytime she knows we're going to all be together, because she just thinks it's hilarious that Michael thinks she's a giantess like you.
That's hysterical. I was very relieved when ballet flat shoes became in style, because I was like, finally, I can wear like the shoes that I normally wear and I'll be in style. So,
I just think, I also think there's something about women with a presence, like people who actually have like a voice and a personality and who stand out, that make them oftentimes seem bigger than people might just assume from pictures. And I know for Sarah, that's the case. I imagine that might be the case with you also. So during this between the seasons, we're just kind of talking about big questions. Father Parrish actually proposed these two questions on our last episode, and you guys are going to get to hear his thoughts on them during our mid episode, where some of our friends kind of share their ideas. But Mati V, I've got a question for you. I want you to answer. All right. Mm-hmm. What is the most amazing or funniest or weirdest thing you have ever heard a kid say?
Oh, that's a tough one because one of my cousins has 5 kids and I've babysat them a lot. So I've heard lots of crazy things. I think the most amazing thing I've ever heard a kid say was one of my little cousins. We were watching this movie called Dinosaur that Disney did like probably like 15 years ago. And there's a scene where the egg of the dinosaur falls out of its nest and it like rolls down this huge mountain and then it lands dramatically. And all of a sudden she's watching it and she goes, "Egg fell." And she was about 2 years old. So she'd been talking, saying words, but she hadn't ever really like said a sentence. And she just like watched the movie and she's like, "Egg fell." And it was like Helen Keller with water. And like after that moment, she like understood. So every time she'd fall down, she'd be like, "I fell." Every time she'd hurt her finger, "Finger fell." So I think that was super amazing. Everything would always fall. It was just like there was no other verb for anything bad happening. It was always it fell. But that was like it opened up a new world of language to her. So that was pretty amazing how that just changed everything for her.
I love how kids will come up with these things where it's like a singular word starts to represent all these other things or this bigger idea. And they know that there's this bigger thing there, but they're not quite sure how to use it. And they just start experimenting. And it's really cute when kids do that and really weird when adults do that. Like, I think people should experiment with words. I think you should say a word sometimes that you're not sure if it's how that word works. I think we should not be afraid of that. I just think you shouldn't do that with normal words. There are a lot of people I know who just, it's evident they don't know what a commonly used word is or a word they use a lot is, and they really should know what it is. But it's so adorable with kids, so frustrating with adults. But I also wish, like, from time to time, you got to throw a word in there and see if it fits, right? And see, like, does that make sense, right? Do you have any words like that?
I don't know. I have a coworker that likes to say germane a lot. And she's like, "Well, this isn't very germane to the topic." And I'm like, germane? Is it like a lot of hair? Like, I don't know what you're trying to tell me. And I had to Google it at like the first time I heard her say it. I was like, what the hell does germane mean? It was just, and now she says it and I like wince every time. But I don't know. I'm a word nerd. So I love reading and all this stuff. So I don't know. I don't know if there's a specific word. I think discombobulated is a fun one.
Do you have a favorite word to say where it, like, it feels good in your mouth? Is that a thing?
No, not really.
My favorite word to say is spackle. I think spackle. It's the soft like start with the slide into a hard finish is really what does it. I don't get to say it a lot, but it is my favorite word without a doubt to say. So for me, my kids, not just my kids, the funniest things I've ever heard, because my daughter's in the corner right now laughing at me, which she's not supposed to be. She said she wouldn't bother me while I was doing this. But my kids are hilarious. We at one point started a Facebook page for them called Quintessential Quad, which is like a Fantastic Four kind of like takeoff. But we posted there for a couple of years and then just stopped. But we used to post just the funny, ridiculous things they would say. I'll link that down in the show notes because I think it still exists. And I have a friend, Aaron, who used to tell me that, like, they didn't believe that my daughter actually said the things we posted on there. And they just thought that she was the funniest. And I will say she is the most practiced at, like, comedic timing and trying things out. I think that experimentation thing for kids is one of the things for me that's most attractive. You can't sit in the corner and laugh. You told me you weren't going to do this. And one of the things she used to do was from the time she was like 2, I think it was the Princess Bride is the first time we remember her doing this. We talked about it earlier today, me and my wife. She would kind of isolate just intuitively the lines that were the funny lines. And you would hear her during the movie, like repeating them back to herself. And then she would just try them out to see situationally how they worked and how they fit. And so the first one we remember her doing this with was Princess Bride, which was in my pastor's homily today. And it was when they're on the boat, Fezzik the giant was rhyming everything. So it's like, you know, he's like rhyming everything everybody else says. They're practicing his rhymes basically because he's not that bright. And then, like the line, "Stop rhyming now, I mean it." And then he goes,
Does anybody want a peanut? Yeah. Yes. So I love that movie.
That was her first thing. She would walk around saying, you know, like, "Stop rhyming now, I mean it. Does anybody want it?" Like over and over again, and people would laugh. And that really kind of culminated, I think, the height of that. The one we were most worried about, we were watching, School of Rock. And she was like, there's a line in there that's like, let's be honest. And it's very much a lesbian joke. And she was like, maybe six at the time. And we were like, maybe we should.
Oh, no.
And she, I heard her saying it. And I was like, no, you can't practice with that one. Like, it's not one you can just try and figure out how that works. Cause that'll be a problem later on. But
that is hysterical.
The best and my wife's favorite movie is Elf. And we had been watching it at one point in time, and it's got a lot of great quotable lines, but we had walked up, I wasn't around. My son was at the bottom of the stairs. My wife was up in her room, and they were like loud whisper talking to each other. So they were like, you know, hey, did you get the thing from the kitchen before you went to sleep? Like, they were loud. And then my daughter, just from the other room, goes, I like whispering also. And like my wife, this lock is one of the best lines in the entire movie when Elf does that.
Yes.
But my kids do amazing things. I think there's all these funny things that stand out, but I also think some of the most profound things I ever hear come out of kids' mouths, because they don't realize it's profound. They're just naming something that they perceive to be true. And so there's this really interesting mix there that I always find really, really intriguing. I think the other thing for me is like the hopefulness of kids that a lot of adults don't have. So we're going to go and hear a couple of our friends share a little bit about what crazy things they've heard kids said. When we come back, we're going to talk about how we feel about silence. And so they're going to share a little bit on that. Why don't you think about that while we're on this, listening to some of them, think about the craziest or most amazing thing you've heard a kid say. And then how do you feel about silence? Where is that at in your life? And we'll be back in just 1 minute.
Hey, this is Father Colin Parrish from the Threshold Podcast at the end of a long, long day. The most beautiful thing I've ever seen a child say or do is actually my godson being just attentive to people, right? Like with a genuine goodness. Like, so I see this in many children, but it's an experience I've been looking at more and more each time. It's just like how awesomely attentive they are, like in the moment with somebody they are, in a way that I have to be way more intentional, with people. You know, like I have to be like emotionally more intentional to be present, whereas it's more intuitive for them. And I just find that endlessly fascinating and beautiful for me. And it's like a reminder to me each time I see it. Man, silence. I think there's two things about silence that I like making distinctions with. It's the difference between solitude and being alone. Solitude is like you're with a presence, you're with someone, but you're in solitude with them. And then being alone is literally just being divorced from things. And so when I, like, for me, silence, what I do with it is, I mean, I go into prayer. Or I just ruminate on my problems and I just make myself anxious. I mean, that's another popular option for me. But when I'm actually like allowing myself to be in silence, it's kind of like basically being aware of someone loving me now.
Hey, I'm Timothy Putnam, host of Outside the Walls. You can find it at outsidethewalls.com. And I am a father of 7 children, like ages 10 and younger. Like this is hardcore stuff. So the question is, what's the weirdest thing I've ever heard or most surprising thing I've ever heard a child say? The most fearful thing I've ever heard a child say is, uh-oh. And if you've ever been around small children, you know the terror that can incite. And when there are 7 of them running around, it could be really disastrous. But really the most surprising thing I've ever heard is we're a Catholic family. We're raising our children Catholic. And I was talking with my kids one day and I was telling the boys, you know, boys, I would be just fine. You do whatever God calls you to do, but I would be just fine if you all became priests. And my 6-year-old looked at me and said, Dad? To which I responded, yes. He said, Dad, can a monk be a priest? I'm like, you bet, bud. That's right. He said, okay, I want to be a monk priest that makes stained glass windows. Now that's out of left field. And he's maintained that for over a year. For his 7th birthday, we let him, we got him lessons. He went and made his very first stained glass window and he was so stoked. You know, he's that kind of kid that he's playing with the glass and he's cutting the glass and he's doing everything under instruction. He gets a little cut and it's the end of the world that he's got this little cut. And I tell him it's a war wound and he's still just inconsolable, I guess. And then immediately after it's over and everything's put together, he's like, oh, mom, look, I got a war wound. All of a sudden, he's the bravest child in the world. So that's the most interesting thing I have ever heard come out of the mouth of a child, believe it or not. Now, the second question that was posed to me was, how do I deal with silence? And as the father of 7 children, I relish it. No, but, you know, I find that for me, it takes me about 3 days of intentional silence until I can shut off that internal monologue that just wants to bring up every little thing that I have ever heard, thought, or watched on television since I was 6 years old. And so I recently went out to a monastery out in Hulbert, Oklahoma, where it's miles from anywhere, and it is silence. And it still took about 3 days to get to a place where I could even begin to hear God start to whisper things to me. I see the value of silence. I see the absolute necessity of silence, even in my own life. And it's so hard, not only because there's 7 children running around, it's so hard just to get myself to be quiet enough to really even benefit from the external silence that's around me every day. I'm Timothy Putnam, host of Outside the Walls. Come and give me a listen.
Well, I love The Princess Bride, and I feel like the other movie that's kind of like right from that same time period that I used to love watching growing up was The Three Amigos.
Yeah.
Even though it's a little bit more PG-13-ish than Princess Bride for sure, but...
Yeah, we haven't watched that one yet. We really need to. I think the first time I saw that, it was at my grandparents' house when I was like 10, and I certainly didn't get it. Like, I did not. It was like, I can tell this is funny, but I'm obviously not getting a lot of what's funny about this. Because that's, you know, all 10-year-olds are that introspective.
Yeah, well, one of the funniest parts is my dad's name is Jose. So there's this scene where they're like, Jose, and it's Chevy Chase pretending to be a Mexican, like, I don't know what they were, like the little Mexican thief, but he's like literally a foot and shoulders taller than everybody else in the shot. And it's just tears, yeah. Tears.
No, it's so good. And like, it's hard because I feel like that's not, like, we've lost that ability to be like actually like deeply witty in movies. Like, I love good dialogue. It's actually like, I love heist films. That's one of the things I love. And I feel like it's because the dialogue and the characters are usually much smarter than in a lot of movies. I think that's one of the things that's most attractive to me, that, and I like to steal things. So the second question for today for you and for me is, how do you feel about silence?
I used to have a lot of difficulty with silence, not necessarily like I could be quiet at work all day, but like that interior silence of like, let's just be and not be thinking about 5 other things that I have going on. I have a friend who used to always invite me to a silent retreat in the summer, and I'd be like, ha ha, like, nope, not doing it. And I think I'm in a place now where I might be able to handle that and not totally freak out, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I think for me, I really like silence, but I feel like as an adult, I've gotten more disconnected from it. And like, there is nothing I love more than leaving my cell phone at home for a day, but I would never do it unless I had to, right? That's kind of my relationship with silence.
Yeah, I went on a young adult retreat couple years ago and they took away our cell phones, and I was like, oh, I'm an adult, you can't take away my cell phone, blah, 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 you know, whatever. I ended up turning it in, and it was so liberating. to not have 25 notifications waiting for me at the end of the day. Like, you know, it wasn't the end of the world to not find out what whatever celebrity I follow on Instagram was up to. It was nice.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's not even just that, it's not even just like the celebrity thing. It's that once I've picked up my phone for the day, like I've lost whatever I was going to do before that point. Like at that point, emails come in, texts come in, social media happens, all those things. And to some degree, my world is diverted at that point in time. Even if I accomplish all the things I set out to do in a day, even if I do the things I'm going to do first thing, at some point, my mental energy and my focus is already sliding off of those things and on to these other things. And that usually happens like before I even see my kids in a day or before my wife is awake. And so before I take care of kind of the essential things of my daily life, I've already allowed so many other things to kind of come into that space. And I think that's such a weird thing in today's day and age. Like, you think about it, historically, people who were early risers could have gone 3 or 4 hours without interacting with another human being and have been completely fine. And that would have been normal. And now it'd be like, why are you so isolated? Is there something wrong with you? Like, there's just kind of this weird presumption that you have to be talking or interacting in order for things to be significant. But I think most of my like most connected and grounded moments usually come in a space of silence and internal reflection. And I'm continually like opting out of the ability to do that unimpeded by my concerns for the day. Do you have experienced that?
Yeah, I especially have a difficult, like personally, I'll have difficulty with just like keeping things on track. So when you're able to take that like mental break, you can think clearer. And I feel like a lot of times we're just rushing. We've got so many distractions going on that when we get to these decision-making points, we just are like, oh, that's just automatically doing things without really thinking about it. So if you're not training yourself, like you're saying, to have those breaks where you can actually think and just be, then you can't, like your whole life, like all your decision-making is thrown off because you feel like you can't do that. And I think a lot of people, like there's a lot of saying, oh, well, don't be antisocial this, don't be antisocial that. Like in an, as an person with introverted leanings, like I tend to want to stay away more from people, but am I not really totally embracing that silence? I'm just avoiding people, which is different than actually taking that time to have that reflection moment.
So there is this, this is going to sound really weird. There's an Amish podcast that just started recently and it's in the UK. And at first I thought this has got to be Mennonite or something else, but they claim to be Amish, right? And so they just started a podcast and they have like other young Amish on to talk about young Amish issues. I don't know how it works at all. But they recently recorded and broadcast one of their worship services, which are literally 30 minutes of silence. And so they've got the whole room mic'd and there's no talking. You can hear like chairs creaking and pages rustling and like the gentle cough in the background, but it's really just 30 minutes of silence. And it went absolutely viral in the UK. Like they went from like no downloads to like, you know, tens of thousands of downloads overnight because of this episode of silence. Mm-hmm. And the most intriguing thing to me about it is that the fact that it's communal silence, right? In American culture and worship, we don't have set aside times where we get together with other people to be quiet as often. Even in the mass for Catholics, I feel like the most stressful part is if people feel like the priest has sat down for too long after the homily and doesn't get right into the Eucharistic prayer, like, so, which is kind of what few different parts of our worship, right? So like,
yeah, or at the end after communion, if there's like too much of a silence break between the end of communion and like, right, let's get out of here.
Yeah, people are unnerved by that. And I was thinking, like when I was in high school or even middle school, some of the best moments were like those late night conversations you would have with friends where you were talking and you were a little bit delirious, you're a little bit on edge, you were a little bit totally relaxed because you're all kind of in bed looking up at the ceiling or the sky if you're outside. And just it wasn't necessarily the conversations that were always great, but the fact that you could actually stop talking for a little while and just exist in that same kind of ineffable space with other people, right? Where all understood each other. Mm-hmm. You understood what you were talking about and you understood what it impacted in your own life. And no one had to say anything about that. And I think that was actually like, and when I say the sweetest, I don't mean the cutest. I mean like the most joy filling or the best part, the sweetest part.
Yeah. Those are often the most real moments that you have with other people, because there's nothing, you're not entertaining each other. There's no expectation. You're literally just being.
Yeah. And I love, like, one of the things I love about the podcast is like the ability, and lots of them get edited out, which maybe we should start leaving more of them in. Maybe we should give a little bit more space to silence sometimes in what we do. Like naming, like when someone says something that's really profound, I have a desire to jump in and name that rather than just being able to sit with it for like one beat, two beat, three beat, you know, and then affirm that or, you know, question that or ask.
Yeah, no, I have a total tendency to, when I start telling a story, I just keep going until somebody's like, okay, like my turn to talk now. Mm-hmm. So I've, like, a friend of mine totally called me out on that, and I appreciate them as a human for pointing that out to me. And it's been this kind of struggle of saying, okay, well, it was my turn now. I need to like allow that other person to not only have an equal time in talking, but also allow there for to be that third presence, that the silence of let them think, you know, just let the words be. Yeah. You don't have to have that obligation to fill the silence.
Yeah. And I do this activity as a training activity a lot of the time, but it's an activity that I do with middle school, high school, adult groups, different age groups. And sometimes we'll use some scripture reflection. Sometimes we won't. It depends on the function of it. But I'll actually ask them to, without looking at a clock or a watch or anything that could tell them the time, to sit down, to stand there in silence. And then after, when they think it's been a minute, to try to sit down as close to the minute mark as possible. And times typically range anywhere between like 20 to 25 seconds before someone sits down. And in the same group, it may go up to like 2.5 minutes before the last person sits down. You got people, you know, you get a lot of people mm-hmm. around the 45 second mark. You get, and then for the next 30 seconds, people are kind of have an intuitive sense. But it's really interesting to go around and ask people to like how they did it, and then also the differences between people's perceptions of that time. And if it's at a big conference event, especially for adults or young people, you hear some people are like, this was the hardest, you know, minute and a half of the weekend for me because I couldn't talk, or I couldn't process, or I couldn't ask questions during that time. You know, but then you'll also have the people who are named like, this was the best like minute of the weekend because I'm an introvert, or because I just needed some silence. And usually we'll do it twice, and the first time everybody's just super anxious and super on edge, and then the second time we do it, because we'll do it again just after we've processed a little bit to try it again. And that second time you can just feel like the anxiety drop out of the room, the fact that it's not a who, like I don't ever tell them who won, though I do know, I mean I'm competitive, so I always mark down like third guy in the room. Weird nose, like he was the one who you know sat down closest to time. But it's just always really interesting to watch the anxiety shift out as they realize, like, not only does it not matter, but I'm not going to tell you, right?
Yeah.
You know, like who did the best, and just for them to kind of then enter into that moment in a renewed way is really interesting. So I'm so excited about having you on. In the next couple of weeks, people are going to get to hear you step into kind of your new role as a co-host. I'm really looking forward to that. But I think a really great way before we close out the episode completely would be, let's take 30 seconds. And if you're out there listening, if you're listening on time and a half right now, on time and a half, if you're listening to this on 3X, teach me your secrets, but also on 3X. Let's just take a little bit of time to just be silent together, and then we'll share with people where they can find us on social media and all the other things. Cool?
Cool.
All right. If you enjoyed that part, you can go back and play it over and over and over again.
Yes.
If you're going to share this podcast with a friend, don't just send them a clip of that 30 seconds. They'll be very confused.
Yes. And I actually wanted to share, there's a quote that popped into my head when we first were talking about silence. And it's a quote from Viktor Frankl, who was a psychiatrist in the 1930s. And if you just Google him, he's got this amazing story, survived the Holocaust, and had a really amazing body of research about how to find meaning in your life. And he has this, he said this in his book, Man's Search for Meaning: between the stimulus and the response, there is a space. That's that silence we've been talking about. And in that space is our power to choose our response. And in our response lies our growth and our freedom. And I feel like that moment that we just had, that's that moment that we, like, when we're feeling overwhelmed in our lives, we need to take that moment, and then that's going to change things for us. So take it away, Tony.
No, it's awesome. I looked that up, and I'll link that down in the show notes so you guys can easily find it if you don't want to have to scribble it down all fiercely. Mighty V, if people want to find you on the internet, where are the best places to find you?
The best place to find me is probably Instagram, the Mighty V, so T-H-E-M-A-R-I-V-I. And I've also started a blog recently. It's called becomingmissright.com. So if anybody wants to go read my ramblings there, you're very welcome to do that.
And she will be here with us on quite a number of episodes of The Threshold over the course of the next season. Father Parrish will be here from time to time. We may have some other voices who jump in. We just did our live show last week, and I got to meet Gabby, who's going to be coming on as a co-host from time to time. She came out to do the live show with Edmund and I. It was a lot of fun. That'll go up next week. I'm hoping it's we'll see how the audio from that turned out. I know we lost a little bit right at the end of my section, but I think it was just like the intro and Edmund and I just total stream of conscious BSing. So that's not anything anybody needs to hear. But if you're interested in Edmund and I stream of conscious BSing, you can go to his channel. I'll link that down for the first part of the night. We're going to put the first part up on his, and then my conversation with Father Russ Mower up in the second half of that here. But it was a lot of fun. We want to thank Small Brew Pub for having us out. As always, if you want to connect with us online, you can go to facebook.com/thethresholdpodcast or find us at thresholdpodcast.fm. We've also got a great Facebook discussion group that we've got set up to talk about these episodes and more. Tyler Schroll from Fort Catholic just went through and liked like 50 million things on that. I got a whole page of just him liking and commenting on that. So go join Taylor in doing that. And again, no matter who you are, no matter where you've come from, enjoy a little bit of silence this week. Just take some time to slow down and to find that power to choose your response in that space between the stimulus and your response. I really want to encourage you guys to do that. I love that quote. That's from Viktor E. Frankl. But until next time, get out there, F in effability, and talk about what really matters. We'll talk to you guys next week.